You know exactly how stiff your aerospace lattice needs to be, right? Like, you know exactly how much it has to weigh to hit your mass budget for, say, net zero emissions.
Right, the macro properties are usually pretty well defined.
Exactly. But working backward from those macro properties to actually build the physical material, that is, well, it's the nightmare of inverse design. Structurally speaking, it's like trying to perfectly unbake a cake.
Oh, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, you know the exact taste and texture you want, but you are just staring at raw carbon fiber and epoxy, trying to reverse engineer the highly complex mathematical reactions required to get there.
Which is frankly almost impossible with traditional methods.
Right. So today we are tearing into a deep dive on a 2026 paper from the journal Composite Structures. This is by Jugan Selvaraj and Sandapan Adhikari from the University of Glasgow. And they are combining classical mechanics with a really highly constrained machine learning framework.
Yeah, they're tackling what is fundamentally an intractable math problem.
They really are. We are looking at the reverse engineering of composite lattices. So, to start, why are we focusing on composite lattices specifically?
Well, the focus on composite lattices makes this particularly high stakes. When we look at periodic interconnected architecture, say for a satellite bus or maybe a morphing wing skin, the goal is always to maximize that stiffness to weight ratio.
Because every ounce matters in aerospace.
Exactly. But instead of extruding these struts from a single isotropic material, like aerospace-grade aluminum, each individual strut in this framework is a multi-layered, fiber-reinforced composite.
Wow, okay, so it's not just a solid piece of metal.
No, not at all. We are asking engineers to customize the microarchitecture of a macroarchitecture. And because of that, the design space complexity just scales out of control almost immediately.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. So we are dealing with standard hexagonal unit cells. You have three main strut members in that cell, A, B, and C, right?
Yes, three struts making up the core geometry.
And we know the overall performance of the lattice hinges on the composite layup of those three struts. But the math just totally breaks down when we try to optimize them. I really want to dig into the actual mechanics of that combinatorial explosion. Like, why is it so hard?
The explosion happens the exact moment you move past trivial laminates. The overall extensional and bending stiffness of any single strut is dictated by the stacking sequence of its plies.
So, literally, how you layer the material.
Right. We are looking at the orientation angle of the fibers in every single layer. If you take a standard 12-ply laminate and restrict yourself to just standard manufacturing angles, 0, 45, mana 45, and 90 degrees, you are looking at over 16 million possible stacking sequences.
Wait, 16 million just for one strut?
Just for one single strut configuration, yeah.
That is insane. And because our unit cell has three distinct struts, you aren't just dealing with 16 million combinations. You are dealing with 16 million to the third power if you want to optimize the entire cell simultaneously.
Which puts you well into the trillions.
It's like you have this combination lock where every time you add a ply, you're adding another dial, and it's just multiplying the potential solutions into the trillions. You can't just guess and check.
You really can't. And you cannot use traditional gradient-based optimization or even evolutionary algorithms for a multi-query problem at that massive scale.
Because it would take forever.
Basically, yeah. Running finite element analysis on trillions of layup combinations per iteration just to find your target stiffness, that is computational suicide.
So, how do researchers normally handle it?
Well, what's fascinating here is how traditional numerical optimization completely fails to navigate discrete variables at this volume. When your variables are fixed angles, like strictly 0 or 45 degrees, the optimization landscape is inherently discontinuous.
Ah, I see. It's not a smooth curve.
Right. The algorithm can't smoothly slide down a gradient to find the minimum error, it just jumps around blindly. The Glasgow researchers realized that trying to brute force a solution in that discrete domain was totally a dead end.
They had to change the rules of the game.
Exactly. They had to bypass the discrete angles entirely and move the problem into a continuous domain.
Which brings us to the mathematical shortcut at the very center of the paper, which is lamination parameters.
Yes, lamination parameters are the key here.
So we're taking the highly complex, discrete stacking sequence of, say, a 12-ply or 24-ply laminate, and we're projecting it down into a continuous low-dimensional latent space.
It relies heavily on the inherent mathematics of classical laminate plate theory. The stiffness matrices of a composite, so the extensional, coupling, and bending stiffnesses, are calculated using integrals of trigonometric functions based on the ply angles.
Okay, you're going to have to break that down for me a little bit.
Sure. We are basically talking about the cosines and sines of 2 times the angle or 4 times the angle. Because you can integrate those trigonometric relationships across the entire thickness of the laminate, you can express the whole structural behavior of the stack using just a handful of continuous variables.
So you don't need all the individual angles.
Exactly. 4 to 6 lamination parameters can completely replace the need to track 24 individual ply angles.
That functions incredibly similarly to how a JPEG algorithm compresses an image file. Like, we aren't tracking every single pixel of data in the composite strut. We are capturing the essential structural data.
Yeah, you capture the vibe of the stiffness, essentially.
The vibe of the stiffness. I love that. We capture the vibe, the stiffness behavior, and we just toss out the discrete noise. Mm-hmm. So we're boiling trillions of layup combinations down to a 6-dimensional continuous coordinate.
That's a perfect analogy, yeah.
But looking at the paper, I noticed how they handle the inverse mapping here. And it seems like it presents a massive physical roadblock. Does compressing the data mean we lose the physical reality of the material?
It does create a complication, yes.
Because the forward mapping is easy, right? Mm-hmm. You feed the classical mechanics equations a stacking sequence, and it spits out the lamination parameters.
Yeah.
But going in reverse, starting with the parameters and finding the layup, is a non-unique mapping problem.
The non-uniqueness is a direct consequence of that compression we talked about. Multiple, entirely different physical ply sequences can integrate to yield the exact same lamination parameters.
Oh, wow. So there's more than one right answer.
Yes. You could have a 12-ply layup heavily biased toward 45 degrees and a completely different 16-ply layup, and both might provide the exact same effective stiffness matrix.
Okay, so if the math tells us there are 50 valid physical configurations that hit our target stiffness, we have to find a way to efficiently select the optimal one without running some massive computational loop.
And that is exactly where we bring in the AI.
Right. The researchers use an artificial intelligence framework to handle this mapping, specifically an encoder-decoder neural network.
Yes, the encoder is a feed-forward network.
So it takes your target elastic modulata, your desired stiffness, in the X and Y directions of the lattice, and maps them directly to 6 latent lamination parameters, 2 parameters for each of the 3 struts.
Right. But the implementation of that neural network is where this paper really separates itself from standard machine learning approaches.
How so?
Well, typically, both the encoder and decoder in these architectures are heavily data-driven. They require massive pre-computed data sets of finite element models to learn the relationships through, you know, millions of training epochs.
Right, which takes a lot of time and power.
Exactly. But the researchers completely discarded the data-driven approach for the decoder phase.
See, here's where it gets really interesting for me. Because we hear about AI hallucinating all the time.
Yeah.
You ask a generative model for a bridge design, and it draws something with zero structural integrity because it doesn't actually understand gravity.
It only understands pixel patterns, yeah.
Right. So how do we know this neural network isn't just dreaming up impossible materials? If we are asking an encoder network to dream up the lamination parameters for a load-bearing aerospace lattice, we have to ensure it isn't generating mathematical artifacts that violate physical bounds.
This raises an important question, and it's what makes the differentiable physics module so beautiful. The decoder in the system is not a neural network.
Wait, really? It's not an AI?
No, it's a hard-coded, closed-form analytical module built strictly on the equations of classical laminate plate theory.
Oh, I see.
So when the AI encoder predicts a set of 6 lamination parameters, it hands them directly to the physics module. The physics module then analytically calculates the macroscopic elastic moduli of the lattice based on those parameters.
And then it checks its work.
Yes.
Yeah.
It compares that output back to the original target stiffness requested by the user.
So the difference between the target stiffness and the physics calculated stiffness is the loss function. The AI is literally being graded by the laws of physics in real time.
It is. It doesn't need a supercomputer to pre-generate a training data set because classical mechanics provides instantaneous ground truth feedback.
That's brilliant. But I think the most elegant constraint in this entire architecture is how they mathematically force the AI to stay within reality using the activation function.
Yes, the tan activation function. They utilize the hyperbolic tangent function.
Right, because the geometry of lamination parameters dictates that they must be bounded.
Exactly, because they are derived from sines and cosines, and the sine or cosine of any angle can never exceed positive 1 or fall below negative 1.
So the physical universe of these composite parameters is strictly confined to that specific window.
Correct. So by routing the final layer of the neural network through the tan function, the architecture mathematically squashes every single prediction to fall strictly between minus 1 and 1.
Meaning the neural network structurally cannot hallucinate an impossible parameter.
Exactly. It is mathematically barred from predicting a material that cannot exist. The system achieves physical consistency without any massive computational overhead.
So you have a purely analytical forward pass governing the AI's backward pass. That's so cool.
It is. However, arriving at valid lamination parameters only solves the theoretical half of the problem.
Right, because a set of continuous parameters pointing to a theoretical stiffness is totally useless on a factory floor. We have to actually build this stuff.
Exactly. We have to address the manufacturing constraints of the autoclave. The AI's continuous predictions might map to a theoretical layup of, say, 33.7 degrees.
Which is super specific.
Too specific. Aerospace manufacturers are laying up pre-preg carbon fiber at discrete standard angles. More importantly, those laminates have to be balanced and symmetric.
Why symmetric? What happens if they aren't?
Thermal residual stress is the absolute enemy of any composite structure. When you cure a resin matrix at high temperatures and then cool it down, the thermal expansion and contraction of the different layers will literally fight each other.
Oh, because they're pulling in different directions.
Yes. If the layup isn't perfectly symmetric across its midplane and balanced in its off-axis angles, those residual stresses will cause the strut to warp, twist, or cup as it cools.
You introduce severe bending extension coupling, and suddenly your precision aerospace lattice warps into an unusable shape.
Exactly. And the AI does not inherently care about thermal residual stress. It just wants to hit the target stiffness.
Right. It doesn't care about the factory floor. So its continuous output might fall directly in the latent space gap between two actual manufacturable symmetric light-ups.
Which is a problem.
So to bridge the continuous math and the discrete factory floor, the researchers deploy a post-processing algorithm using a KD tree search.
Yes, the KD tree, or K-dimensional tree, it's a highly efficient space partitioning data structure. Before the optimization even begins, the researchers generate a comprehensive library of every single possible balanced and symmetric layup for a given ply count.
They basically make a menu of everything that can actually be built.
Right. They calculate the lamination parameters for each of those valid factory layups and plot them as fixed points within that continuous latent space.
So the AI gives us the perfect theoretical recipe, and the KD tree is like walking into the closest grocery store to see which ingredients are actually on the shelves.
That's a great way to think about it.
It's like an incredibly aggressive filing system. When the physics-informed AI outputs its theoretically perfect continuous coordinate in that six-dimensional space, we have to find the closest real-world manufacturing point.
And brute force searching a database of millions of layups would just bottleneck the entire system.
So how does the KD tree skip the bottleneck?
The KD tree eliminates it by recursively bisecting the search space. It doesn't check the distance to every single point.
Yeah.
It looks at the AI's coordinate, figures out which half of the space it belongs in, and instantly discards the other half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it repeats this logarithmic partitioning until it isolates the absolute nearest neighbor in just a fraction of a millisecond.
The AI calculates the dream material, and the KDD tree instantly snaps that prediction to the closest off-the-shelf, thermally stable, symmetric layup that a machine can actually lay down.
It is an incredibly tight pipeline from abstract objective to manufacturable blueprint.
Which forces us to look at the macro-level results. We have this robust inverse design framework now, but what are we actually optimizing these lattices to do? Why go through all this trouble?
The primary objective for the researchers was maximizing anisotropy.
Anisotropy.
Yeah, in deployable space structures or morphing aircraft wings, isotropic behavior, where a material exhibits the exact same stiffness in all directions, is often a huge liability. You need highly tuned directional stiffness.
Because it's moving, right.
Exactly. A satellite antenna hinge, for example, needs to be extremely rigid along its load-bearing axis, but highly compliant on another axis to allow for deployment without fracturing.
So what does this all mean for the specific fiber and matrix combinations we choose? The paper isolates the anisotropy ratio, which, as I understand it, is just the stiffness in the X direction divided by the stiffness in the A direction.
Right. X divided by E.
And they ran this AI framework on a standard E-glass and epoxy composite, trying to squeeze the maximum possible directional contrast out of the lattice. What happened?
Well, the E-glass results hit a hard mathematical wall. E-glass has a relatively low fiber-to-matrix modulus ratio.
Meaning the glass isn't that much stiffer than the epoxy.
Exactly. The fibers are stiffer than the epoxy, but not by a revolutionary margin. When the AI optimized the microarchitecture of the struts to push the macroanisotropy of the lattice to its absolute limit, it topped out at a ratio of just 1.03.
A ratio of 1.03 is, functionally isotropic. It's basically one.
It is. Despite having an advanced machine learning model perfectly orienting every single layer of E-glass, the lattice was practically identical in its stiffness across both axes.
So the micromechanics of the material itself just capped the macro performance, but then they swapped the E-glass for XN80, right? This highly advanced, high modulus carbon fiber system.
Yeah.
And the results fundamentally shifted.
Oh, dramatically. XN80 possesses a massive fiber to matrix modulus contract, sitting at a ratio of nearly 50 to 1.
That's huge.
Yeah, the carbon fibers are exponentially stiffer than the surrounding resin matrix. When the physics-constrained AI went to work on the XN80 laminates, it exploited that micro-level contrast to drive the macro anisotropy all the way up to an upper bound of 1.49.
Wow. You are looking at a structure that is nearly 50% stiffer in one direction than the other, using the exact same physical lattice geometry. That's incredible.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it proves a vital axiom in composite engineering. The geometric topology of your lattice, so the hexagons, the strut thickness that provides your baseline structural behavior.
Okay, the baseline.
Right. But the absolute ceiling of your customization, the bounds of your anisotropy, is strictly governed by the micromechanical contrast of your constituent materials. The algorithm can really only amplify the inherent disparity between the fiber and the matrix.
Which is exactly why the continuous latent space approach is so powerful.
Yeah.
You can now analytically prescribe a target anisotropy for a highly specific aerospace mission. Say you're demanding a ratio of exactly 1.34 for a morphing wing strut. The framework will just instantly run the inverse mapping.
Yep. It bypasses the curse of dimensionality by leveraging lamination parameters.
It lets classical mechanics grade the neural network to prevent impossible physics, which is just brilliant.
And it uses the KD tree to snap the theoretical math to a symmetric XN80 carbon fiber layup that actually won't warp in an autoclave.
It entirely removes the trial and error methodology from composite engineering. By projecting discrete combinatorial chaos into a bounded differentiable latent space, you turn an impossible multi-query search into a streamlined, computationally light mapping exercise.
It's a massive leap forward.
We started out talking about trying to unbake a cake, looking at a pile of raw materials and a list of target properties. What Jigan Selvaraj and Sandipan Adhikari have built here is effectively a universal recipe generator that refuses to violate the laws of physics.
It really is. It's an essential tool for anyone operating on the cutting edge of structural engineering or material science.
It absolutely is. And, you know, it leaves you with a fairly provocative application to consider outside of just aerospace.
Oh, how so?
Well, if we can successfully lock a neural network inside a closed-form analytical physics module to reverse engineer microscale lattices, what happens when we scale this exact inverse design architecture to the macro world?
That is an interesting thought.
Right. Imagine inputting the precise acoustic scattering profile you need for a new concert hall, or the exact kinetic energy dissipation curve you want for an automotive chassis to crash.
And having a physics-bound AI instantly output the blueprints.
Exactly. The optimally constrained, fully manufacturable architectural blueprint just instantly generated. We are building systems that can accurately work backward from the perfect result, and that fundamentally changes how we interact with the physical world.
It's a whole new paradigm.
It really is. Well, thank you for taking this deep dive with us today.